You've heard me say before now that this psalm is an ABC psalm. Its arrangement, therefore, is by design. The Lord Himself, the author of this book, has seen to it. He has seen fit to divide the psalm into 22 parts, and every part of the psalm represents a letter of the Old Testament alphabet, the Hebrew language, that in itself may be off-putting at first thought. I'm sure it is, in fact. I'm sure it is off-putting at first thought, because we say to ourselves, well, what would I know about such an alphabet? The truth is, you would know nothing about such an alphabet to begin with. But there's a challenge here in the Bible. We're not to stand apart, afar off, and say, well, because I don't have any key to this, I needn't bother myself looking at it. That's not true. The first thing I remind you of is, if this is an ABC psalm, then it is arranged in this way to suit memorization. It may not suit you for memorization to think of Aleph, Beth, Gimel, and so on, but then we're talking about a Hebrew family where the children had learned this Hebrew alphabet and they knew all these letters. The child would. So the psalm is especially for the young. It's God's memory book for the child. And just as the child, having got a grasp of ABC, would be able to say, now, what is it? What's the first verse that begins with A? And the second verse that begins with A? Right on through 8 verses that way. Then the letter B would have come up if I use English letters for convenience. And the child would say, what's the first letter with the letter B? And the first verse with the letter B in that section. And what's the second verse in that section with the letter B? And so on. Now today we come to the 14th part of the psalm, the letter Nun. And the child trying to get to grips with memorizing this psalm, which is all about the Bible, would say, ah, that's the lamp. Because in the Old Testament language, the first letter of the word lamp is Nun. And the child would be on to it right away, memorizing the psalm, verse by verse and section by section. Of course, you wouldn't know what would come after Mem. You wouldn't know Nun was after Mem. But the child in the Hebrew family would have learned the alphabet, you see. And now as we look into this section of the psalm, we will say, this is the section about the lamp. So the Lord is saying to you, you need a lamp. Before you can venture forth in a world of the sort it is, you need to be sure that you have God's lamplight in your hand. Never put it down. You can't afford to be without the light, without the lamp. Isn't it good to know before you set forth, if there's a difficulty ahead, that the Lord says, not only here's a map, and you could say for the Bible, this is a map, but it's a lamp as well. And the Lord is saying, here's a lamp, now use it, and you can't put a foot wrong. I delight to be able to say such a thing. Now, a form of the word Nun appears only once in the Bible. You might be interested to know where this word Nun in its particular form appears. If the word only occurs once in the Bible and it has any connection with this portion, certainly you would want to know about it and look it up. I invite you to turn to Psalm 72. And this is where the form of the word Nun appears. Thus, it must be clear, the word Nun has a meaning. The meaning may not be known to you at this moment, but it must have a meaning, seeing it's used in the text, it's used in the Bible. It appears not in its Hebrew form, of course, but in its translated form in Psalm 72. We will look at the verse 17. His name. Now, whose name is that? Why, the Savior's name. The name of our God. His name. Glory to God. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Here we look at the word continued. And thus, if we turn back to the Psalm 119 and understand that this letter Nun has a meaning in the Bible, a meaning of continuance, and the first verse of the section is about a lamp, why, the thought is, this lamp will continue to shine. This lamp, from age to age, glory to God, this lamp, even in the darkest hour, will continue to shine. And through the ups and downs of life, whatever experience may come your way, the lamp of God still burns. Glory to His name. I'm personally encouraged to know, although the devil wants to extinguish this light, this lamp that God has given you for your feet, this is the meaning wrapped up in the name Nun of continuance. Remember what I've said. The word represented by Nun only appears once in the Bible. Only once. And in that place, it means continuance. Going on. Here in our church, and in many Presbyterian churches for that matter, there is the emblem. It's up there in the front window of this building, of the burning bush. And you have known the days when you attended Sunday school, I believe, that the idea in using the bush as an emblem is to have the people of God say over the words, burning, but never consumed, burning on and on with a fire and a light as bright as ever. It was at the beginning. And so the lamp of God is like that. It shines on with a continuing light. It shines on in such a way as to leave you with undimmed vision. And you can say, for effect, even though this world is full of clouds and mist and fog, and these things come our way betimes, we can take the lamp of God with the authorization, with the assurance, this lamp will continue to shine. It's there for you when you're young. It's a psalm for the young, remember. An ABC psalm. It's there for you when age has come, and when you're older and you need the lamp more than ever. Listen to me carefully. You have this lamp for the daytime of life, and you have this lamp also when the shadows gather. And God is saying, just as surely as He says, I will never leave you. So He's saying, do you know, praise God, this lamp will never go out. There was a lamp in the tabernacle. The instruction to Moses, and from Moses to the people, was, don't let the lamp of God ever go out. Everybody here knows the story of Samuel. You'll know the job that wee fellow had in the tabernacle. And it was his practice to keep the lamps going. That's tremendous. He was only a little lad, and he had one of the best jobs in the tabernacle of God. He kept the lamp going. And that's the keynote of Samuel's life even when he grew up and became a prophet. For Samuel ministered in a very, very dark day. Days of apostasy. Days of failure. Days of unbelief. Days of shame. But all the while, as long as Samuel lived, The breath of God was upon him. As long as Samuel lived, he kept the lamp going. The lamp continued to shine. And that, men and women, is the theme of this part, this 14th part of the psalm. Now, numbers in the Bible have a significance, whether you're much into numbers or not. But I would have to say God not only put the letters into the Bible, He also put the numbers into the Bible. And the number 14, you could take it to be either double perfection, or else you could take it as the perfect witness. And so it is. For God is saying to the Christian, there is a perfect witness for you in this life. The Christian's not perfect. As he knows his own heart and life, he's far from being perfect. But he has in his possession, praise the Lord, he has there a perfect witness. And there it is in the book. So that through cloud and sunshine, through difficulty and blessing, the Word of God's still there. It's in your hand. It's there for your comfort. And it's like not only a light, but it's like the sunshine. It's like the sunshine of heaven as you go. But you see, when the psalm says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, one of the meanings of that is, you'll be testing everything you do by this light. And you have to test everything by the light of God's word. What you do, where you go, what you say, how you think, all should be regulated by means of this word. Use the lamp. I made mention there of the light in the tabernacle. Samuel as a boy had the task of keeping the lamp going. I have said it reminds us of the kind of ministry God gave that man in very, very dark times. He kept the lamp burning. Now God wants you to do that too. But we also are living in days of darkness and difficulty and shame. We're living in days of shame. We're living in days of departure from God. But it is our task to keep the lamp going. That is to say, to use the word. Lift the book every day. Get it into your hands. And even better still, get it into your heart. And if you can, go the second mile with it. And I believe you should. Then let us try to memorize even more of God's word. This is a memory psalm. That's one of the reasons why it's divided up in this A, B, C fashion. Did you ever think about the lamp of God? For I'm sure that that lamp in the tabernacle is the lamp that is in mind here. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. Do you know that the worshipper in the tabernacle, the man who stood in God's presence, the man who went in there to worship and to pray, was surrounded by darkness? There were no windows in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a form of a tent in the wilderness, but it was made without windows. And when the veil hung in place, and the outermost covering of the tabernacle was put into position, and the high priest entered into the sanctuary to go to the altar of incense and prayer, there was no light in the tabernacle but the light of God's lamp. That speaks volumes. That even for the worshipper, for the man who prays, the only light he has is the light of God's word. You cannot worship by means of your own light. You can't worship by the light of your own understanding. And I think many a Christian makes that mistake. He imagines that he can act on the light he has himself and worship God according to the light of his own understanding. That's a mistake. Thy word! Thy word! Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in the sanctuary, the worshipper knew that the only light he had to see the way to God, The only way he had to see the way to God was the light that shone there by divine command. This lamp in the tabernacle is the type of the Word of God. And its structure was so made, it was according to the pattern shown to Moses on the mount. I, in the past years, as you would understand, have looked at items in the tabernacle. And one time I started to study, what in particular did God say to Moses? Make sure you make it after the pattern on the mount. Now, as every Christian would realize, every item in the tabernacle had to be made according to the pattern in the mount. No getting away from that. But there were particular times as the Lord spoke of this or that or the other item when he said, make sure you make that after the pattern on the mount. Do you know that when God spoke to Moses about fashioning the lamp, that was one of the times? That was one of the times he said, make sure when you're making the lamp that it's according to the pattern on the mount. Because there was no improvisation in the making of the lamp. The lamp had to be according to God's pattern. And when it comes to the light you need every day, has to be the light of the book. But every detail of the lamp, right down to its tinymost item, had to be in accordance with the way God had planned it. So you would know then, every detail of that lamp is in accordance with the mind of God. Praise the Lord! There's a divine author for this book. There's nothing here in the book by chance. There were seven branches to the candlestick, as it's called. Really, it's a lampstand. It's not a candlestick. The light that burns in the sanctuary is fed by the oil. There are seven branches to the lampstand. And the centermost branch, with three on either side, the centermost branch is the tallest, so that it has the preeminence. And every Christian is like the light bearer. But in the middle there is Christ. And he is far away above all. He has the preeminence in all things. And in the sanctuary of God, while every Christian shines with the radiance of Christ, there in the middle, there is that tall branch of the candlestick, which represents the Savior far above all principality and powers, and anointed with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. He has the preeminence in all things. Every branch there is fed by a bowl. If I speak of the six branches that were all the same height, were lower down than the middle one, every one of those six branches has three bowls. So being six, there were 18 bowls. But in the middle, that middle branch was fed by four bowls. And if you count the number of bowls filled with oil, the oil used to feed the flame and keep the lamp burning, you will discover for the six branches, three bowls to every branch, 18. And four bowls in the middle one. And 18 and 4, 22. Is that coincidence? When you consider the lamp pictures the Bible, and every verse of the Bible, if I talk about its language, is composed of a group of, a selection of, these 22 letters. So there is a bowl there on that candlestick which represents the Bible. There's a bowl there for every letter of the alphabet. As I say, you can't have one name in the Bible, but that name has to use some of these letters.
in Psalm 119. You can't have the name of the Savior, the Messiah, without using the letters of this golden alphabet. You can't have one verse in the Bible, not one verse anywhere, but that verse combines a selection of these very letters. And the Lord seems to be saying there in the makeup of the candlestick, do you know that the light of God's Word shines through and every bowl answers to a letter? And every one of the letters of the alphabet are necessary. Every one is necessary to give you the Word. And it's not only a matter of saying every book in the Bible is inspired, nor is it a matter of saying only every verse in the Bible is inspired, but every letter, not a jot or a tittle, shall pass away. Every letter of your Bible is there by divine inspiration. Not one letter will pass away. For see there, in the bowls of the lampstand, every letter is represented. All 22 are there to keep the lamp burning. That's a tremendous thing. Look at the passage itself. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Lord would never give you a lamp except you needed it. That's one thing we can say about the Lord. He never gives you anything but you need it. So if he says, here's a lamp, you may expect to be in some dark place, maybe in some dark hole, before your life is through. Don't make a mistake about this. Listen, the Lord never puts anything in your hand, but you're going to need it. So that means, as clear as anything can be said, that means you are going to be in a dark place. And when you are in that dark place, you will need a light. And the Lord said, here's a torch. Never go out. You have it. You need that lamp. I remember one time I was in Kenya with Dr. Paisley and Mr. Michael Veen. This occasion he was to speak at night, but the journey through the day had been long and difficult, and the roads were not for anybody to comment on. So instead of getting to the place at a certain time, say 6 o'clock, that wasn't the time, I'm just using that as an illustration. Say the meeting was to be 6 and you were to be there for 6. He didn't get in till 9. He was thoroughly exhausted. He said, well, they'll all be away home now. So I'm just as glad for him tired out, and I don't know how I could take a meeting. Something to that effect. But at 9 o'clock, they were still singing away. Nobody had gone home at all. It wasn't like Ulster. If it had been 3 hours behind time, they'd all been home. But he then, tired as he was, he could do nothing. He had to get up and preach. They were all waiting for him. Then the meeting ended, and in order to get to this missionary's house, we had to walk across a field, total darkness. And I, as a child, was always greatly into geography and studied the various countries of the world, so I knew full well the kind of snakes they have in Africa. And also, if you're walking across cut grass over a long stretch, there wouldn't be much noise. Snakes don't like to confront people, and if there's any noise, they'll take alarm and disappear. But walking over nice cut grass, there wouldn't be much of a sound. But nobody had a torch, and nobody thought about that. Then we went to tea. The missionaries like to tell you stories, you see, just the same as if you're going to a hospital and there's a particular problem you have. If your friend does that, he might say, oh, that there, you'll be a sick. I had that. I was as sick as could be, sick for days, and the pain of it, pain was wild. There are people who'll tell you all sorts of things like that. Missionaries tend to do that. They have special stories. He said, with his guests, their eyes wide open, one morning, fast asleep, but maybe it was 4 o'clock in the morning, I had, you know, one of those strange sensations. You should be awake. It wasn't time to get up yet, but you should be awake. I don't know why I should be awake. You should be awake. You should have your eyes open. There's a reason why you should be awake. He said, so I tried as best I could. Maybe it was 4 o'clock in the morning. Why should I be awake? And the first thing, of course, lying on the pillow, you look down to the foot of the bed. My heart nearly missed a beat when I could see two tiny, wicked, beady eyes looking at me. It was a cobra. Those things can spit at you. And even from 10 feet away, they can spit with unerring accuracy and get you right in the eye. And that substance, unless you're treated immediately, will cause blindness. Never mind the bite. That wicked thing. And he described how carefully, slowly, he edged out of bed and got himself some sort of implement. I don't know if it was a baseball bat or what, but he described it all. And he said, I had that thing killed. There it was in the bedroom. So by and by, seemed like 5 minutes, but there was tea and so on. He said, now if people have to sleep down in the shed away at the bottom of the garden. Dr. Paisley says, we have to walk down there. Oh yes. Well, he said, we would need a lamp. And from now on, the lamp was being used all the way for every step that was taken. Couldn't walk along there without having the lamp. I thought, but you walked across a whole field before, never thought about the lamp. You see, you feel a need, not only if there's a darkness about you where you can't see the next step, but especially if there's danger there, you better have the lamp. I tell you. What sort of world are you living in? It's not only a world of surrounding darkness. Listen to me. It's a very, very dangerous place. Much more dangerous than a country with reptiles in it. Because there are reptiles of another kind just as deadly as the cobra. If you look at this section of the psalm, you'll see whether it's a safe place or not. Look at verse 107. And he says there, I am afflicted very much. The word very much means right to extremity. As far as the soul can be taken. As far as you can possibly suffer. As far as you can possibly go. I am afflicted very much. And believe me, you need to have the light of God shine on your affliction and on your sorrow if you're going to come to terms with it, if you're going to understand it, if there's going to be any help for you in that situation. You need the light of God on it. But if you're in a world where there is much affliction, right to the extremity of your being, your capacity to bear it, then you need the lamplight of God for that. You look again, verse 109. What does that mean? It means every day there's a risk. He's running through life at the risk of his life. My soul is continually in my hand. Don't you see that the child memorizing this marvelous psalm, letter by letter, going through the alphabet in order, that the child who looks up the letter Nun with the lamp says to itself, I need the lamp, because there may be a time when I'll have my life in my hands. Anybody in Israel is living like that, right up to the present day. There can never be peace in Israel. Never. Not until the Lord comes. So there's always an attack. There's a murderous band. There's an assault made on the village. The families are fleeing. Children are crying. Women are in terror. My soul is continually in my hand. I'm living night and day with my life on a spider's web. You need the light of God then. You do! What about 110? Do you need the lamp of God? Is the world a dark place? And is there danger? Yes, there is. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Anybody who knows about snares knows you don't see the snare. If the snare is laid for a person, the person's not going to see the snare. Nobody walks into a snare. There's a verse in Proverbs 1 which says, in vain will the net be spread in the sight of any bird. Even if a bird is stupid, it's not that stupid. If you can make the bird sense, look, I've got a net here, and if I use this net, I have you captured. In vain will you spread the net in the sight of any bird if you want to catch it. The bird had better not see the net. Don't you know that? And if the devil has laid a snare for your feet, you are not going to see it. That's why you need to get the lamp of God on it. And the world is not only a dark place, it's a dangerous place. Three times the psalm speaks of the feet. And you would see the first one in 59. You turned your feet into the heavenly way, the way that leads to glory. I thought in my ways and turned my feet. Listen, if you're not saved, if you have never turned your feet onto the road to glory, you're lost. You need a Savior. You're far away from God. Your feet are not going in the right direction. I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. That's the first reference to feet in the psalm. The second reference to feet is in 101. You have to turn those feet of yours away from sin. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. And the third reference to feet, 105. You have to turn them into the path lit up by the torch. As the word of God lights up the way, that's the way for you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You have to hold on to this lamp through thick and thin. There's so much in this psalm. We'll not go into the details as we could. But if you take 106, I have sworn and I will perform it. I will keep. I'll hold on to thy judgments. So then through thick and thin, you have to hold on to this lamp. Are you saved? Are you walking in the light of God today? As best you know how, are you saying, Lord, give me a word? What about tomorrow? Don't you think that you should have time with the word of God tomorrow and say, Lord, let thy light shine on my feet today? Oh, bless God! Bless the Lord! Every believer, every home here can be under the light of God this week. A lamp that'll never go out. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And through thick and thin, I have sworn. To swear an oath in the Bible meant the man had to kill 7 animals. And if you think of a farmer who has 7 bullocks, for him to make a promise to God, if he has to kill 7 bullocks to back it up. And that's what the word sworn means. It comes from the word 7. Meaning he had to kill 7 animals to swear to God. And every time he slew that sacrifice, 7 of them, it was costing him money. There's no farmer that you know around here would like to lose 7 of his animals. Prize stock. But to make a promise to God, he had to kill 7 of them. And that's why this word sworn is the word it is. He was saying every time he slew that sacrifice, he says to God, if I don't keep this word, let me die. That death is for me. 7 times over, he had to say, I'll die if I don't keep this word.
So that's a very serious thing. And nobody, even if you swear to keep God's promise, nobody will keep to that word without difficulty. For he says here, I'm afflicted very much. More than I can bear. I know the Lord will not let you reach that point. Although you may have to suffer right to the point of extremity. Our brother prayed this morning, we don't know what lies ahead this week. Ah, we don't. But you have to take a hold of the book and hang on to it. You have the whole man here, you have the feet, then you have the mouth. Head to the mouth to the toe. You have his heart inside and out. The whole man must belong to the Lord. What about you? The last verse is, I have inclined my heart. I put my heart to it. To be the Lord's forever.